Grace and peace to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Mel Brooks famously said in the movie The History of the World, Part 1, "It's good to be king." Kings have all they want, don't they? Servants, soldiers, concubines. Some kings, like King David, even had more than one wife. Towards the end of his life, King David took a census, which he later repented of. But we hear in Scripture he had 288 musicians. And how many soldiers did he have? Well, he wanted to count those too, so he did. He had 470,000 men who drew the sword, and that was just in Judah. In Israel, the northern kingdom, he had 1,100,000 men who drew the sword. That's a lot of soldiers. A side note, all this counting that he did, this census that he took, really displeased the Lord, and God punished him for it, because what do numbers mean to God? Nothing. All the strength is with the God, right? He was supposed to trust in God, not in the legs of man, how many people he had. So he counted all the men, thinking, oh, look at all this strength, and he started to distrust God. God punished him. He struck down 70,000 of those men who drew the sword in Israel. A side note, however, the point remains, David had a multitude, a many, a thousands of people surrounding him. So the question is, who can be lonely when you're surrounded by so many people? Yet for all the company that King David had, King David was lonely, wasn't he? He said so. In Psalm 25, verse 16, we heard tonight, "For I am lonely and afflicted," said David, who wrote the psalm. What did Jesus mean? Excuse me, what did David mean? Was he talking about other people? Kind of like King Arthur and Genevieve, when they sang that song, "What Do the Simple Folk Do," when they're imagining what it must be like not to be royalty, not to be the king. Is that what he's thinking? Well, boy, if I weren't king, it must really be lonely. No. Was King David just trying to imagine what it would be like not to be king? No. Rather, David was lonely because of his sinful condition. When David remembered his sin, he confessed his great loneliness to God. I think we can learn something here about our human nature. Sin creates the feeling of loneliness. People caught in sin are some of the loneliest people in the world. It's because they are trying to go it alone. Alone and without God's help. When King David was living faithfully, God was with him, and he didn't feel lonely. But whenever he departed from faith and sinned, David felt the hand of the Lord be upon him, and he'd feel it also depart from him. Maybe this kind of loneliness people don't like to talk about because we're prideful and we don't want others to know that we're trying to go it on our own, without God's help, without listening, without following God's ways. And that only makes matters worse. Another thing we learn from the example of King David, even if you're king, even if you're handsome like King David was, even if you're gifted like he was, a very good musician, even if you're the anointed one, which he was, life can still be lonely. Roy Orbison was wrong when he said, "Only the lonely, down, 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 W-D-W-A-H, know the heartache deep inside?" Even King David, the non-lonely, knew the heartache of loneliness. So what's the cure? Is this kind of loneliness treatable? Can it be overcome by hard work and making yourself sociable and be around more and more people? No. The cure for this kind of loneliness is repentance. It's turning around and getting closer to God once again. It's believing that His ways are gracious, first of all, and just and holy. It's believing that He alone is the true King that we all need for our eternal victory over all of our great enemies of sin, death, and the evil one. David wasn't the king. God was. With repentance and faith, the sense of loneliness goes away. How could it not? For when you repent, as we often do here at church, you often do so with many people surrounding you, don't you? You do it at the same time, even. You find others doing the exact same thing. God calls the whole church on earth to live a life of repentance. And we do. And when we do, we find fellowship. Even fellowship with other sinners. When you come to a table to eat with other sinners, there's talking there, isn't there? That's what we do in the meal before tonight. We sit, we talk, we eat together. And when you're talking and you're being heard, there is no loneliness. So also when we go to God's table and we hear his voice and we receive his gift, the body and the blood, there's no loneliness there. God is for you. He's giving you his gift. He's there for you. Don't be lonely. That's why one of the most important pieces of furniture in your house is not the TV or the couch. It's the table. That's where talking occurs, isn't it? Talking doesn't happen in front of the TV or the couch. Usually it's at the table. The greatest cure for the sin of loneliness and loneliness of sin is Christ Jesus and the Spirit of God that ever dwells in our hearts by our baptism. God is ever working through means, through baptism, through the Word being preached, through the Lord's Supper. He's ever working through these to root out loneliness by reminding us of who we are and how He sent His Son. He humbled Himself, took on our own flesh and blood, became like us, suffered and died for us in front of all of his friends and family and for the sake of you, my brothers and sisters in Christ, to gather us as a great communion before God in heaven, the great, wonderful saints of all those saints who have gone before us and all the saints that will come in the future, gathered around the throne, no loneliness in God, with God, no loneliness in heaven. Praise be to God that David's loneliness, even though surrounded by many people on earth, was overcome by Jesus. Praise be to God that our loneliness, even when surrounded by a number of people here on earth, is overcome by Jesus. Amen.